Hello, my name is Rick Conrad, a reporter with QCCR. As part of the federal election campaign, we're speaking to the candidates in the riding of South Shore St. Margaret's. Today I'm joined by Conservative candidate Rick Perkins, who is running for re-election. Welcome to QCCR, Rick, and thanks for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here at QCCR.
First of all, what's the response been like so far on the doorsteps and everywhere you've been in the riding?
Actually, it's been fantastic. This is my third election. The first one going for re-election. I ran in 2019, got elected in 2021. And this is the best response I've had in all three elections at the doors. I'm getting a great response. A lot of people appreciating the job I've done for the last 4 years. In fact, our numbers are up in most of the polls compared to where we were in 2021 when I had defeated Bernadette Jordan.
So have you been doing polling in the riding itself?
No, this is door knocking. So we compare it to the results from last time and what we're getting in results at the door. So compared to the last two elections in terms of support levels. Okay. And we're almost running out of signs. And we've put out, I don't know what it is, probably about 1,500 signs. So we're having to do another sign order.
So tell me about why should people give you a second term as the MP down here?
Well, I ran in 2021 on a couple of big issues. The primary one, it was the commercial fishery. I was running then against the Liberal Fisheries Minister, and we have over 7,000 people in this community that are dependent on the fishery directly in the South Shore. That doesn't include all the indirect jobs, you know, the Tim Hortons, the car sales, all those things that happen because of the people who work in the fishery. And the fishery community was really unhappy with the performance of the Liberal government in its first 6 years and how it had harmed the commercial fishery interests and the things they were doing. And that's why I got a strong mandate from that community. Of course, I was immediately appointed the fisheries critic by Aaron O'Toole and then worked hard at that issue, holding the government to account and pointing out all the flaws in what they're doing. Pierre Poilievre, when he became leader, asked me to be the industry critic. And of course, for me, the most important industry is the fishery. So I continued to maintain that as part of my more general responsibilities in the industry area. And I've been very vocal and actually, it's actually a little overwhelming how much the fishing community all over the province, not just in the South Shore, are supporting me. We've had sign requests from fishermen in other ridings wanting my sign, saying, sorry, doesn't quite work that way. You got to put the local Conservative candidate. But trust me, the local Conservative candidate will fight just as hard for commercial fish harvesters as we have against the very stupid and destructive policies that the Liberal government has done through seven fisheries ministers in 10 years. That shows how little they care about the fishery, that they keep switching it out. It's just a stop on another part of somebody's ministerial career as opposed to somebody who's passionate, knowledgeable, and sides with commercial harvesters.
So in your opinion, what is the problem there with the government's approach to the commercial fishery? And did it start with the Indigenous right to a food, social, and ceremonial fishery? Or did some of these problems predate that?
I think the issue of the food and ceremonial fishery is separate from commercial fishery. So the minute somebody, doesn't matter who you are, sells a fish, you're in a commercial fishery. So First Nations have a right to food and ceremonial, but it's got to be for food and ceremonial in the band, not food and ceremonial to sell. That's commercial. So there has been an abuse of that element of it. We've had testimony at the Fisheries Committee from enforcement, DFO enforcement officers, former enforcement officers saying 90% of the FSC catch is used as commercial. And the Liberals don't even know how much that is. When I've asked the various fisheries ministers, do you monitor and get reports like you do on the commercial fishery of how much is caught on what's called FSC fishery? And they say no. I said, well, how do you manage a fishery if you don't actually know what's being caught in part of it? And then secondly, that has expanded to an illegal commercial fishery. What we've seen all over Nova Scotia, but particularly in the South Shore and the Bay of Fundy, is a massive illegal fishery out of season. We've seen it around Cape Breton as well. We've seen it in PEI, illegal fishery in the summer, unlicensed people. Licensed, only people licensed by DFO under Supreme Court law can fish in the fishery, whether that's lobster, whether that's the insane poaching and criminal activity that's going on in the Elver fishery right now. It has started up again with armed people. We've got, in 5 minutes from my house on the Fitzroy River, about 40 people showed up last night, all illegal, some of them armed, and they're from New Brunswick, and some of them are from Nova Scotia. And the DFO has told the RCMP not to interfere and not to actually enforce the law. So DFO is not enforcing the law. DFO has told the RCMP not to enforce the law. And that comes from liberal direction. Time after time after time, fisheries ministers in committee have excused it as saying, well, it's too big to manage, or it's this or it's that. They always have an excuse.
You know, I mean, a lot of people point to Indigenous fishers, you know, being involved in the fisheries, or more Indigenous fishers are involved in the fisheries. Is that the issue? Is that the kind of the conflict
point? We've always welcomed more and more entrance into the fishery, more and more Indigenous entrance in the fishery through the legal fishery, not an illegal fishery. So come to the table, and the Marshall decision said only DFO can regulate the fishery, and the non-Indigenous and Indigenous users of the resource cannot regulate the fishery. Only DFO can. And that the right to a moderate livelihood can be infringed on by the government for conservation reasons. And everything that DFO does is conservation. When you limit the amount of fish that can be caught in a commercial fishery, that's so that there can be more fish available for future generations and you don't wipe the stock out. When you fish lobster in St. Mary's Bay out of season, where all the lobster from southern Nova Scotia, western Nova Scotia, Maine, and New Hampshire migrate to breed in the summer there in Browns Bank, and you continue year after year to fish those lobster when they're breeding, you will eventually destroy the lobster stock. And the Liberals have not been enforcing the law around that, and we're seeing lower catches in what's called LFA 34 as a result of the poaching that's been going on the last 7 years, and the unwillingness of the Liberals to enforce the law in the summer. Yet Liberals still now say, well, we support the commercial fishery, we just won't enforce the law. So you can't have it both ways.
A lot of Indigenous groups or Indigenous fishermen would say it's their right to fish whenever they see fit. And their interest isn't in depleting the stocks. So what would you say to that? Like they're out there doing what they believe they have a right to do.
Well, that's not what the Supreme Court said. The Supreme Court in the Donald Marshall decision was very clear, and it was about eels. It wasn't about any other fishery. And what the Supreme Court said, again, I'll say it again, was that the right can be infringed on by the government for conservation reasons. And when you set trap limits, when you set the seasons, when you set catch limits, that's done for conservation reasons, to ensure that the stock is available to fish for future generations. And it also said that only DFO, not the Indigenous and non-Indigenous users of the resource. It specifically said, you cannot catch whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, by your own rules. We do not have a lawless society in Canada. So we do want more Indigenous participation. And the Harper government paid $500 million to ban so that they could buy the equipment and boats to do that out of the Marshall decision. But the issue is that you have to have DFO licenses, because there is no way to manage a fishery. If everybody plays by their own rules, you will eventually destroy whatever stock you are. There has to be a management of the amount that's caught. And that's what we're seeing. The result of almost 10 years straight of poaching in St. Mary's Bay has diminished the lobster stocks on southwest Nova Scotia. That's what I say to anyone who's illegally poaching. Why is it that you want to fish and shellfish that are breeding, which hampers that stock's ability to actually reproduce? That is not in anyone's interest, whether it's First Nation harvesters or non-First Nation harvesters.
But what would a Conservative government do to address the concerns that you've laid out?
So what we would do is enforce the law. We don't have a society that works unless, one, you have laws, two, people obey them, and three, there's enforcement and penalties for disobeying those laws, whether it's criminal offenses, or in this case, or whether it's fishery offenses. So we believe it begins with enforcing the law. And then sitting down, once the law is enforced and people are abiding by the law, and negotiating access, more access for First Nations. As long as there's no penalty and no enforcement, why would I come to the table to negotiate when the government lets me do whatever I want, whenever I want? and negotiate away and get less access. So it starts with respect for the law, and respect for the law means respect for the conservation of the fish species. If you don't respect the law, you don't respect the conservation of the species.
On to another issue that that is sort of a hot topic in Queens County lately, speculation about a possible mill.
I've been in those meetings, and I'm really excited about the idea of a new modern mill being located in Queens County, just outside of Liverpool. The Bowater lands are too small. Employing 1,800 people to construct it, over $3 billion project, probably 300 people working full-time, the first modern mill built in Canada in over 40 years. I think it's a huge, huge opportunity, not just for Liverpool and Queens County, but for our entire province.
So, as you know, Premier Tim Houston recently wrote a letter to Liberal leader Mark Carney and your leader, Pierre Poilievre, asking them to support an application for federal financing by Paper Excellence, or DOMTAR, to the Canada Infrastructure Bank. What would a Conservative government do? How would they respond to that request?
The Canada Infrastructure Bank hasn't been a very successful organization, and I guess DOMTAR, as they're now called, has not had a great deal of success. According to the news release they put out a couple of weeks ago, dealing with that organization, which proves what we've been saying for years, that it's not effective. There are other government financial institutions and programs to help deal with that without having to try and create this ineffective organization. I personally am very supportive, and Pierre knows that. I've talked about it. Pierre came up here to Queens County in the summer. We went to the Freeman Mill. I briefed him fully on what was being discussed with DOMTAR. He was quite excited by the idea. And we're looking at ways, as we would, not straight up subsidies. We're not big on business subsidies, but we are big at using the tax code in terms of helping make a better business case for investment in capital. And we've said that, you know, if you've made money elsewhere, which DOMTAR has, and you want to invest it in capital in Canada, that capital will be capital gains free. Won't be capital gains tax on the profit you make from that. Doesn't mean they won't make operating profit, but we'll be doing things that accelerate that capital investment and make it more attractive from a tax code perspective for companies to do that. But we're very supportive of the idea of building the infrastructure that we need to not only access our renewable and non-renewable resources, forestry being a renewable resource like the fishery, and building the infrastructure to do that. That's essentially our platform. The Liberals have come out and not said how they're going to do any infrastructure building in energy or resources. In fact, they're refusing to repeal their anti-capital law called the Impact Assessment Act, which takes 10 to 15 years to get regulatory approval to build these kind of infrastructure things. We're going to pre-zone, pre-load, pre-permit areas for these things. So that's part of the cost issue for organizations like DOMTAR, to get the permits, the environmental permits, so that they can have certainty that they can build this and get it quickly and make that decision. And then the second thing is to have the federal government tax system that allows that to be profitable.
What do you think it says, though, because they did say that that right now there is no business case for that. There isn't enough of a business case without some kind of government intervention or assistance.
That's what they said. And I think that was their frustration with the infrastructure bank. My understanding, although the company could confirm that, is they were trying to get $1 billion loan from the infrastructure bank at preferential interest rates to help fund some of this, and they couldn't get it for some reason. I'm not sure why they couldn't get it and why the infrastructure bank would refuse such an important project. But we'll be certainly taking a close look. I'll certainly be advocating for the building of that plant. Those jobs are important. It's important for our entire forestry industry. The chips that result from our 13 board mills, including Freeman's, have to go somewhere. Right now, some of them are going to the Freeman's, are sending it to the power plant here in the old Bowater lands. And some are having to actually export it, which costs the money out of the province, because we produce more chips from doing sawmill work than we can consume at the Bowater power plant. Third of what Northern Pulp got in pulpwood was from the 13 mills to help produce the paper that they did. And that proved a very important part of the income for our 13 mills in Nova Scotia. And so that's essential, I think, another benefit of this potential mill, not just the jobs, but how it impacts the overall industry of the 13 mills.
There is some concern locally, though, about the ownership of Domtar and their record in other jurisdictions, their record as a company. Is there any concern from your perspective about that?
Yeah, we're good at putting the no in Nova Scotia, right? Let's find an excuse not to have jobs, not to have economic opportunity, not to have our province prosper and try to get off of equalization. Let's get off of equalization by developing our industries. And in that case, I don't know what the foreign country's regulations are. All I know is that our regulations are the highest in the world. The issue on our regulations in Canada and our regulations provincially, we've got the best in the world.
But there are some, I think, valid environmental concerns among people in Liverpool and in Queens County generally. I think they like the prospect of jobs and industry, but they want to make sure that we don't kind of cut off our nose to spite our faces for the sake of a few hundred jobs.
Well, I'd encourage them to look at what our laws and regulations are on this. And the Northern Pulp one that everyone is familiar with was a very old mill under very old standards. Nobody makes mills like that anymore. These mills they don't have huge amounts of people in them like that did. They're very automated. They're very clean. You should see them inside. There is no odor. There is no waste. Other than seeing a big white building, you won't know any impact. There'll be trucks going up and down the 103. I personally believe this thing is a win-win-win all over for this province.
So what's your closing argument, Rick, for why people should give you another chance and re-elect you to a second term as the Conservative MP for this riding?
I'll say three things. One, if you ask any fisherman in Nova Scotia, they'll tell you I'm their voice. And it's that and Michelin are our two biggest industries in Nova Scotia. And I've been a vocal voice for both of them in Parliament against the stupidity of government. You know, the first thing to fix fisheries policy is to stop the stupid. And there's been a lot of stupid in Ottawa around the fishery and enforced seasons for a reason. Secondly, I think we are the only party that's actually put forward a detailed, concrete plan on how to deal with diversifying our economy so we're not as dependent on the U.S. It's a nice thing to say and have a resume. It's another thing to actually have a plan. And we have a detailed plan and that we've put out publicly every day, and you can find it both at conservative.ca, but you can find it by going to YouTube and just Googling and listening to any of the amazing speeches that Pierre Poilievre says. They're all available on YouTube, and you'll see the full plan. And they're rolling out new initiatives every day. And third, because after 10 years, I don't think the Liberals deserve a fourth mandate to continue to screw up our economy. You know, affordability, affordability, affordability is what we're hearing at the doors. And this is the government that caused food prices to be 37% higher in Canada than the United States. This is the government that's sent a record 2 million people a month to food banks. This is the government that doubled housing costs, doubled mortgage costs, doubled the down payment on a house. It now takes 25 years to save for a down payment, let alone, used to be 25 years for mortgage, now it's 25 years to save for a down payment. An entire generation of Canadians under 40 have given up on the idea of owning a house because of the policies of the Liberals. So a fourth term's only going to get you more craziness. Mark Carney's solution to the housing problem is to build another big bureaucracy in Ottawa. Ottawa bureaucracy doesn't really work. Ours is to incent the capital through changes in capital gains taxes to build the houses, to incent the municipalities to get their act together on their bureaucracy, lower the bureaucracy, and get houses built by saying, we'll give you 15% or more, we'll give you more growth, more money in the gas tax if you grow housing by 15% or more. So we've got a detailed plan in all these areas. Liberals have vague generalities that, wow, this is too bad. Why don't we do something about it? Well, when they have done something, they basically lifted every one of our things. For a year, Sean Fraser, who's come back from the dead, derided our plan to take the GST off of new home builds. Guess what? Now he likes GST off of new home builds. And Liberals on the carbon tax for 7 years have said that the only solution to the climate change was to make your gas more expensive. And now, like an atheist who's dying and lying in bed and now facing the fourth term re-election, oh, well, maybe I should look at it again. Come on. Liberals, stop trying to fool people. Stop stealing the Conservative platform. and come up with some ideas on your own. If you're such a, you know, a kick you know what economist, maybe you might have some ideas on your own rather than just stealing everybody else's.
That was Conservative candidate Rick Perkins running for re-election in the riding of South Shore St. Margaret's. Thanks so much for coming in and talking to us today, Rick.
Always love coming to QCCR. It's a great community radio station. You guys do amazing work.
This is part of our series of conversations with candidates in the riding of South Shore St. Margaret's. We'll have interviews with Liberal Jessica Fancy Landry, Green Party candidate Mark Embrett, and Patrick Boyd from the People's Party of Canada. Independent candidate Hayden Henderson has not responded to our request for an interview. This interview was conducted on April 3rd and edited for length. I'm Rick Conrad with QCCR and the Local Journalism Initiative.